Thank you, Dwight. And the song says, if we are to be happy, we have to trust and obey. And that is true. I hope this morning that all of you want to be happy. I hope you want to be joyful in the Lord. And because that's what God wants to give unto you. And by the way, we're passing out accolades to those who helped us this last week. A big thank you goes to George Wooden. George came up every day and helped us not only in taking pictures, but helping us coordinate here this last week. And we're so appreciative for you, George, and what you did this last week as well. And when you start naming names, there are just so many in the congregation that did help. And we appreciate all the deacons coming up tonight that we had the storm, and all others who dropped by. And believe it or not, Deanna Chapman, or Douglas, was one of the first ones here also. I thought that was unusual, but I appreciated her coming as well. I hope you'll open your Bibles this morning. We're going to be reading from the book of Psalms 1, verse 1 through 6. The translation may not be the same as you have been reading from, or as you will be reading from this morning. But the Bible says that God has a plan. He does. He has a plan for your happiness and for mine. You know, I'm so thankful today that God wants me to be happy. A lot of people have a distorted view of God. A lot of people believe that God is out there ready to bring down tornadoes, or that He is ready to zap us when we do something wrong. But I'm telling you this morning that God loves you and God is ready to bring happiness into your life. Now, if you're unhappy this morning, it is not because God has made you unhappy, because God is ready to make you happy. In the book of Psalms 1, verse 1 through 6, the word says, how happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, nor take the path of sinners, nor join in a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree that is planted beside the streams of water, that bears its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they're like the chaff of the wind that blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment, and the sinners will not be in the company or the community of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will lead to ruin. It is true. God has a plan for your happiness. He does. Now I want you to think with me on this subject this morning. I want to tell you how you can be happy and how you can be unhappy. And you will be the one who will choose after this service is over today what you will do. God has great plans for you. Oh, the joys, if you will, of those who are in Christ. The Bible says in verse 1, how happy is the man? Now, I want you to think about that. How happy is the man? You don't have to understand God's will to be able to be happy. I know a lot of people that say, well, you know, if I could just understand the will of God, then I can be happy. You don't have to understand it. You just have to accept it in order to be happy. Do whatever makes you happy, the bumper sticker says. Or you've seen signs, or people that live by that same philosophy. Whatever makes you happy in life, do it. But let me tell you something. That is inconsistent. It is inconsistent with what God's Word teaches, or what God has to say. There are some things that you cannot do and be happy. And I would tell you, first of all, that you cannot accept the thinking of the secular world and be happy. For the Bible says, how happy is the man that does not walk in the path of the wicked, or how happy is the man that does not follow the advice of those who are wicked or those who are ungodly. And yet we have a lot of people today that follow their advice. Why, you know what? If you don't listen to the Bible, you'll find a multiplicity of voices out there telling you how you can be happy, and it's not going to be consistent, again, with what the Word of God actually teaches. For some believe that happiness is wrapped up in external things. But happiness this morning, my friend, is an inside job. Happiness is found within your heart. And happiness is found within your mind. You cannot accept the secular world and be happy. But secondly, you cannot adopt the ways of those who indulge in sin. You know, sin is a pleasurable thing. The devil made it so. And even the devil made things that are ungodly and things that can be harmful and hurtful to you. Those things can damage your life and destroy you and cause you to go to hell. And yet many adopt the ways of the world and they indulge in sin. It amazes me today the people that indulge in sin, even so-called Christians, who indulge in sin and believe that it's okay for them. It may not be right or wrong for everybody else, but it's okay for me. How tragic. For the Bible says, how happy is the man who does not take the path of sinners. But you cannot acquire the cynical attitudes of those who ridicule spiritual things. You know, the world out there ridicules God. They ridicule Jesus. They make light of what we're doing here today, assembled here today. As a matter of fact, they would believe that those tornadic winds this last week were the result, perhaps, of God's anger or His wrath, if they even believe in a God. You cannot acquire the cynical attitudes of those who ridicule spiritual things. There are always those mockers out there in the world that mock at sin. They're going to do it, and the Bible refers to it over and over again. But the Bible says, how happy is the man who does not join a group of mockers. They mouth at. They talk arrogantly against God and God's family and spiritual things. And in the book of Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You will never mock God and get by with it, folks. You won't. But there's another thing you need to know. If you want to be unhappy, you cannot pick the wrong friends. Cannot. You know, the downfall of a lot of folks is picking the wrong friends. Now, how do we know that? Go back to the passage again. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked? He does not walk in the ways of the ungodly, or take the path of sinners, or join that group of mockers. Sometimes I see many young people choose the wrong friends. You know, the Bible says that evil companionship will corrupt good morals or good manners, and it does. Sometimes people do it innocently. They find themselves in the wrong crowd. They're doing the wrong things because they've been led astray and they've lost their happiness and their joy in life. The wrong friends will take you down a slippery slope. They will. That's why the Bible again says, walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Can't do it. Not please God and be happy. You cannot pick the wrong friends. The people who decide to indulge in sin, listen to what he says again. Don't walk in the way or the counsel of the wicked. Who are the wicked? They're those who are against God. Nor stand in the path. So I want you to notice what happens, the sequence of all this. The Bible says, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, because if you walk long enough, it won't be long before you'll be standing. You'll come stand still with them. And then he says, if you stand still with them, it won't be long till you'll be sitting down with them. You get the picture? You walk in the ways of the ungodly. Before long, you'll stand with them, and then you'll be seated with them also. And you will find yourself a scoffer. Now, there are some things that will put you in the path of happiness that God has for you. You know, it amazes me also, there's so many books out there that attempt to tell you how to be happy, except the good book. Now, the Bible teaches you how to be happy. And the Bible says, first of all, that we are to delight in the Lord's instruction. How many times do you read the Bible? How often do you read the Bible? I challenged you at the beginning of this year to read the Bible through. Are you getting anywhere close to it? Are you reading God's Word? Is it a daily part of your life? Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Almighty God. Paul told Timothy to, until he comes, he says, give attendance to reading. Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. We have to read the Word of God. We do. His delight is in the Lord's instruction. We must be delighting in the instruction of God. But there's another thing. We ought to read it every day, as I said. Paul says in the book of Philippians 4 and verse 8, whatever is noble and whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, Paul says to think on these things. Think on these things. You know, most of our thinking is on bad things. It is. We wake up in the morning to bad news. We go to bed at night with bad news. And most of our mind is consumed in the day with bad things that are going on around us. And if you don't think of them yourself, somebody else will remind you of how bad it is. Paul says, you want to be a happy person? You think on good things. Think on positive things. Think on things that will motivate you and draw you closer to God and help you to become all that you can be. We have to be thinking, not only reading the Word, but thinking on the Word of God. Now, let me tell you this. This passage says he meditates in the law of the Lord. You know what meditate means? It means if you're not opening it and reading from its pages, that you are thinking about it, that it is going through your mind. And it ought to be going through our mind every day. You know, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. It's not a day doesn't go by that I don't meditate on God's Word. If I don't read it, I meditate on it. It's in my mind. And decisions that I make, I think about it. I meditate on it. David said, your word is my meditation all the day. And it should be our meditation. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Instead, the Bible says his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates day and night. Diligent reading of the Word of God and serious consideration of it. And the employment of those thoughts that we find contained in the Word of God and deep study upon it will help us to find the meaning of life. It does. If I could give you this morning a portrait of a happy life, what would it be? If I could just give it to you in word pictures here. According to what he says here, he says that we are like that tree that is planted by the water. Now, we're planted there for maximum nourishment. I want you to notice what verse 3 says, that he is like a tree that is planted beside the streams of water. Now, such a one is compared to a tree. You and I are. We are. Not one that grows on itself or on its own. It's not a wild tree, but one that has been removed and one that has been transplanted by the water. Do you realize that when we became a Christian, God took us out of a vineyard, the vineyard of evil, and placed us in the vineyard of God by a river of life, so to say. And he planted us where we can have maximum spiritual nourishment. And then secondly, where we can be fruitful. You know, a tree that does not bear fruit is not good for anything. It's not. You say, oh, it's good for shade. Maybe so, but it's not good for what it was planted for. We have a lot of Christians today that have been planted by God, but a lot of Christians that are not fruitful. We have a lot of children of God today that are not bearing fruit, and I would remind you, Jesus, every tree that beareth not fruit is going to be cut down. The Bible says he is like a tree that bears its fruit in season. In Matthew 7 and verse 16, our Lord said, you recognize them by their fruits. Jesus says, you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. But we are to be fruitful. We are to bear fruit. But as that tree that is planted by the water, think about this one now, we are protected from the drought. You know, last summer we had a horrible drought. We did. Like we've had in recent years, many of them. You know, I mean, the grass began to wither, and some of the trees even died out in the forest that had been there for years and years. But had they been planted by the river of life, had they been planted by the water, they would have found that nourishment and that water to sustain them, that moisture that they needed. Do you know, in a very spiritual way, God says that we are the trees that have been planted by the river. We don't have to worry about spiritual drought in our lives, because there's always going to be that happiness. David, in Psalms chapter 31, described his life as a drought. He had lost his happiness, and he says in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, then will I teach the transgressor of thy way. And one thing I learned from this particular passage is that God promises success throughout our life. Have you ever seen people that are successful and people that are unsuccessful? Do you ever wonder why some are not successful? Could it be that their center of hope is not Jesus Christ? I'm afraid many, many times that is the truth. There are a lot of people in our world that have lost their center of hope. But the Bible says in verse 4 that whatever he does will prosper. God again has a plan for success in your life. He does. And we need to realize that every day. God has his eye on the entire world, but he gives special attention to those of us who are his children. And this is evidenced by what the Bible talks about when it talks about the fact that the Lord takes personal interest in our life. Aren't you thankful that God takes a personal interest in your life? I'm glad that he does mine. For in verse 6, the Bible said, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. He does. And God has his eye on the entire world. He's watching everybody at all times. Someone once said that a good life is when you assume nothing, you do more, you need less, you smile often, you dream big, you laugh a lot, and then you realize just how blessed you are in life. But there will always be those who will never, ever be happy. Have you ever been around folk like that? That will never, ever be happy. They will always be frowning in life. Always. And it's an entirely different story for them. For in verse 4, the Bible says that the wicked are not like that tree, for their sin caused their unhappiness. Oh, they're living all right. They're living. But for sinners, what a different story. It is true. They have no happiness because they are useless. This last week when the tornadic winds came and they blew all that insulation up in a tree right down here by this little building. I don't know if you remember that tree that was there. It was a horrible looking tree. It was unshapely. It had mistletoe growing throughout it. We had taken all that mistletoe out. We had tried to shape it up from time to time. It was a useless tree. But what's worse than a useless tree is a useful Christian. A useless Christian who does not honor God with his life. The Bible says in verse 4 that they're like chaff. I don't know if you know what chaff is or not. The husk and other materials that are separated from the kernel of grain during the threshing or the winnowing process. And they blow away in that wind. Or they're burned up. And they're burned up as something that is worthless and no good. He says that's the way some Christians are. And will be unable to stand in the judgment. That's what he says in verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment. And what he's talking about there, by the way, is not the great white throne judgment, but he's talking about the judgment of God that is going to befall them. For he says, therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment, for the wrath of God is coming. It is. And those that are not planted by the river of life will not be in heaven. You know, that's a sad thought when you think about it. They won't be in heaven. For verse 5 says, sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. Sometimes, for some reason or another, we all kind of believe that, you know, whether you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian, you're going to go to heaven. And in the final analysis, God is going to bring us all together one more time, and we're going to have one great big community of people up there. Not so, folks. Jesus spoke of the great separation that takes place, the evil from those who are good, the righteous from the unrighteous, the moral from the immoral, the saint from the sinner, the child of God from the child that is the child of the devil. And they will not be in heaven. They will only face final ruin. For verse 6 says that the way of the wicked leads to ruin. You see, we either trust Christ and obey Him, or we'll be lost forever and ever and ever. Now, there's a way to escape that. And this is God's plan for your happiness. It's God's plan of salvation. The Lord has found a way for us, for you, and for me. We can hear His word, according to Romans 10 and verse 17. And when we hear it, that hearing of the word or listening to it brings about our faith in Him. And we reach a point where, because we've heard it, we will believe it with all of our heart. Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto those who believe. And when we come to hear the word and believe it, then we come to the point where we understand Christ says that we have to repent of our sins and get right with God, and that means to change. Luke 13, verse 3 through 5. But then we reach a point where we're willing upon our penitent attitude to confess Christ as Lord and Savior. And Jesus taught that we must, Matthew 10, 32. And not only do we confess Him, but we obey Him in baptism. That's why a person is baptized, in order that he might please God, that his sin might be remitted. Acts 2 and verse 38. They cried out, wanted to know how they could be happy, wanted to know how they could be saved. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. Sometimes people believe that's the end of it. It's not the end of it. But the Bible says that we must be faithful unto God. What's the difference between one who has taken all of these steps except the last one? You know what the difference is? It's hell. Heaven or hell? Decisions determine our destiny. You see, the lane that we call life, one of these days, is going to end. You can only go so far, and the lane will end. And it will point in one of two directions. It will either point toward heaven, or it will point toward hell. And where you go will be determined by what you do in this life. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? And it's all up to you, folks. You know, you choose your happiness. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who made the statement that a man is about as happy as he makes up his mind to be. If we make up our mind to follow God, we'll be happy. We'll be like the tree that's planted by the water. Which will you choose? Which attitude will you display? It's a choice you all have to make. Which path will you follow? Jesus taught, if you will, in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He said, "Strive to enter in the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Your destiny is not determined by what your mother and your father did. It is not determined what your wife does. It is not determined by what your husband has done or what your children might do. But your destiny is determined by what you do. By what you do. And I can tell you that the choice is yours. The choice is mine. Which will it be for you? What will it be? Will you follow God's plan for your happiness? Or will you choose to follow your own? It's as simple as that. Now, I've told you this morning how you can be happy. If you want to be happy, you follow what I'm telling you this morning, not because it's my words, but I'm telling you it's God's words. And He is the one who has the greatest hope for your happiness this morning. And if you're not a Christian, you will never, ever be happy the way you are. You won't. Did you realize that God has made it so? You'll be like a fish that's out of water. You'll be like a bird that's out of its element. You'll be like a tree in a drought. God has made it that you will always be unhappy if you're outside of a relationship with Him. Now, it may appear to others that you're happy, and you may think you're happy, but I'm telling you, folks, you're not. The greatest happiness that man has ever known comes from one who walks with God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. I hope this morning that you're prepared to walk with God, and you may be, and I hope that you are. But if you're not, and you choose to begin your walk with Christ this morning, would you come while we stand and while we sing?